tonight. We discuss the recent noms. Will Janelle or Kacer go home? Or will the veto save them? Also, will any of us get an invite to Nicole's wedding? Oh, and we also have a quiz. Let's talk about all that, but first, please welcome your hosts, Adam and Fatty. Hello, Fatty.
Hi, I'm reading what I'm saying to you so that I won't fuck it up like you did the opening. Oh, I'm sorry.
But I didn't fuck up the opening, you see.
Yes, you did. You just, by the way, did you push the stream button and have you pushed the record buttons?
We're recording, we're streaming live on pride48.com.
Okay. And I'm going to send out a Twitter message then.
We're doing all of that. Anyway, welcome, Fatty. Glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's lovely to be here on the last day of August.
Yeah, it is.
And the end of two-thirds of 2020.
So if we record long enough, we can all say rabbit, rabbit. That's right. The first day of the month, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And God knows we all need luck. So whatever you can do.
All right. Well, we're also joined by Archer. Hello, Archer.
Hello, Adam and Fatty. Hey, Adam, I ordered the Rodecaster Pro yesterday.
Oh, did
it's
you?
It's coming in on Thursday.
So that's a mixer. For those listeners, some podcasters geek out about audio hardware. And one of my other co-hosts, Daniel, ordered one. And he texted me today with just OMG. So
did he get it?
Yeah, I guess he got it today. And I'm like, what? Well, I mean, I know what OMG means, but I wasn't even thinking about any, just literally
relating to that. Yeah.
And apparently he likes it. So
well, that means I'll like it too. Yeah. Then.
All right. We're also joined by Moose P, who may be, he may float away as we're talking.
Yeah, bad storms here. So I'm going to hang on as long as I can.
Well, I'm glad you've got that life preserver around your neck, and we'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers if your screen suddenly goes black. So,
thank you.
All right, and we're also joined by not in the witness protection program this evening, but with a really blank wall behind him, Mr. Mike Lawson. Hello, Mike.
Hi. Do you like the blank wall?
It's great. Neat. It's great. Yeah. The only thing is you have kind of a crease on one side, you know,
it's the corner of the wall.
Well, I know,
it's
but
the corner.
I know what it is.
I'm going to put some sort of wall art, but I'm like sitting in the space for a while to make sure I want it.
It's not a video podcast. So
yeah, I don't like this house. There's too many creases in it.
Well,
they have four of them in this room alone. In this room alone, there's four.
Actually, I bet there are more than four. I bet there are 12 at least. Because
the ceiling
should have four, the floor should have four, and then the wall should have four.
And then the one between your butt cheeks.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
Mike, how many switches are in the room?
What do you mean?
Like light switches.
Light switches.
Someone doesn't listen to Adam's show.
Oh, shit. There's plenty.
Hey, Adam, it's time to do the how many plugs are in your house? How many outlets are in your house?
Oh, well, God. some of the Pride 48 folks, if you ask them how many plugs are in their house, you might get a little bit different answer.
Mike probably has more plugs in his house than the rest of us. But anyway, it's just a guess.
All right. And we're also joined by the Faye driver, who is still in his RV.
Last again.
But a different angle.
I moved. Tonight. I'm in a different location. There should be no murdered children in this spot.
There wasn't a murdered child in the last recording unless you took care of that
there
afterwards.
Was. Yeah, there was. He went out and murdered it because it wouldn't shut up.
There's lots of places to bury children out in these campgrounds, too, so it's good hunting.
Shouldn't they be in school? Oh, I guess nobody's in school now.
One more weekend. One more week.
Apparently, our local university has 250 isolation beds. So if any of the students get COVID, now that they've gone back to school, they can isolate them. So
it won't be enough.
Probably not. All right. So
Wait a minute. Mike, why were you shaking your head?
Which just doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense anymore.
Well, that's correct. Okay. You're exactly right.
The world in general.
All right. Do you want to start?
Yeah,
this?
We can start unless anyone has a personal story or anything.
I have a personal story for you real quick.
Okay.
My husband started remote teaching today in our dining room, and I had forgotten about it, and I walked right through with my underwear on.
Oh, no. Good for you.
Well, at least you had your underwear on. There was, I feel like when COVID first started, there was like a, wasn't there like a woman who was doing some segment for the news in her bathroom, and a guy was taking a shower behind her or something like that? Yeah.
Luckily, none of the students noticed, so it was no big deal.
You could see him in the reflection in the mirror.
In the rear view mirror.
Well, then you're going to have to do a better job tomorrow.
No.
So that they can see you. Just take your underwear and throw it and hit him in the face. No, get one of those Kraft Singles cheese slices and throw it and hit him in the face. You know, that was that Kraft Singles challenge there.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you should hire a different model every day to walk through the shot with their underwear on.
No,
that's what I would do if I had the means.
Well, I don't want to get him fired, so.
Oh yeah, there's that, right? All right. Well, it is. This is the Big Brother Butt First podcast.
It is.
We should talk about Big Brother. We're going to go back to episode 9, Wednesday, August 26th. This would be the veto competition. Tyler has nominated Janelle and Kacer, as we heard in the show open. Enzo had gotten the safety suite, won the safety suite. He had given it to his plus one was Christmas. Let's see.
Let's talk about that for a second, because Mama Day wanted to be the plus one so she could wear the crazy outfit or whatever. Did you think that she was really pissed, or once she saw the punishment, do you think she was really glad she didn't get the plus one? We kind of touched on that in the spoilers last week.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it was that bad of a punishment, to be honest. They were just pillows, basically star-shaped pillows. And
they were waking her up in the middle of the night. And
well, yeah, but I mean, isn't that the same as all of those things? I mean, any of those, you know, punishments where you have to do something, like even Ian's, where he had to read lines or something, they would wake him up in the middle of the night and say, okay, read scene number 35, you know, or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know if it was much different than it was cute. I mean, I thought it was cute because star shaped and, you know, all that. And she had to carry them around. So that was cute. But I don't know that it was more difficult than any of the other ones. I mean, it's basically the same theme, the same type of thing, just a different theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fun, and I think that's kind of what she was saying she wanted. She was there for the punishment, and, you know, you're on TV, and she knows she'll get some attention. And
you're probably right.
She wants the game. She'll suffer a little, and she'll complain about it, but, like, that it'll be fun for her, it'll be fun for us, and I think that's kind of what she was saying she wanted.
That her point was that she had never had the punishment before, and she'd like to experience it no matter what it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, she is an acting coach, so
that's right.
The more exposure that she gets. By the way, I want to bring this up on the podcast. What a perfect time to talk about this. There's a new mobile app for Butt First. And
what?
And if any of the listeners that want to go, you can go. And really, if it doesn't work, then I'll give you a different way to do it. But if you go to buttfirstpodcast.com on your cell phone, it's going to redirect you to the mobile app, because it's going to know that you're on a mobile phone. It won't work on a tablet. The tablet will just load the website. But, and then you should get a way to add it to your home screen if you really want. So like you can add it. There's one way to do it on an iPhone and one way to do it on an Android phone, but you can add it to your home screen. And then you can go and keep up with the latest episode. You can subscribe to the podcast from the home screen. You can also look at the cast members and we'll gray them out as they get eliminated. So you'll see that. And then also the host. So you can see all of us and our contest entries. So at least that's all that's there now. But the reason I was mentioning that is because if you wanted to quickly know what someone's profession is, you can just click on their little face and you see their occupation in their description. So
is that us or the
house? No, the house guests. Sorry. I didn't give our occupations.
Well, three of them would have been retired.
Right.
Well, four of them would have been retired.
Oh, so a few of them might have been like CBT and anal.
That's not really a punishment for you. But
wait, I didn't realize anal was an occupation. What are we?
For Trey, it is.
Pre-occupation.
Honey, right. Do you not remember his first year in Vegas where he had the sign on the door?
Enough about that.
Okay. All right. Sorry to derail. But anyway, if anyone's interested, just open up the buttfirstpodcast.com on your phone and you'll see that lovely app.
Very good. Did Mittens have anything to do with that?
No, it was me.
Oh, it was very me. Good.
I might have to get you to put a different picture of me on there. I don't like the mask on. Aww.
I pulled the pictures from Twitter because I assumed if anyone had it on Twitter, they didn't mind it going on an app. So,
you know, Adam, there's one in every group.
Well, actually, no. So Moose.
There's two in every group because I did it too.
So. Moose emailed me the day that he's like, hey, I'm not too happy with that photo. Can we swap that out? So, yes, I can swap it out.
I'll send you one.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we can keep going.
Very good. Good work. The app is great. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so we start talking, the people start talking, you know, Janelle and Kaser are trying to save their Batinskis here. So let's see, Nicole F. has said that that Janelle has been mean to her. Has anyone seen evidence of this Janelle being mean to Franny?
Well, I haven't seen any evidence of that. I don't watch the live feeds. And in fact, the other night I tried to, and they were all on the cat box. I don't know why. Like every single camera was on the cat box. I'm not sure what was going on in the house, but anyway,
what is there a cat or what's the cat box?
So used to when they would cut away from the camera, like when they didn't want you to see something, they would show an aquarium with like a fish swimming around. And now they have like a, I don't know what to call it, like a cage with a cat in it, like with a real cat in it. But there's a real cat, but it's in a, I believe it's in a shelter, in like a shelter there in California near Los Angeles or whatever. And they have,
you were talking about a litter box.
No, it's a cage, but it has, I think it has like a hole where the cat can go out and to some other parts or whatever. Anyway, regardless. And they have a little sign that says you can adopt this cat by calling this number or whatever. So all I was saying was I tried to look at the live feeds and all I saw was this, you know, stupid pussy. But what I did read is that the reason Nicole and Janelle don't like each other is because Nicole was on Amazing Race with a friend of Janelle's. And apparently double-crossed this friend or something. I don't know exactly. I'm sure I watched that season, but I don't remember what happened.
No.
And Janelle doesn't like Nicole now because of how Nicole treated Janelle's friend on Amazing Race. So that's the reason for the feud, if anyone was wondering.
Okay, but the statement was from Nicole, who says, Janelle has been mean to me. So presumably something in the house has been going on between Janelle and Nicole, but we don't, or is that just her gameplay?
Nicole is famous for spending half her time in the house crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, all I can say is I don't think we've seen it.
I think it's an exaggeration, sure, but that she's known to kind of exaggerate, so it's a half truth.
Yeah. All right. She's kind of mean. All right. Janelle asks Bailey to play for her. A little conversation about that. Danny is really plotting her game out. She's making some deals. She's going around the house and saying she wants Janelle, Enzo, Memphis, and Tyler gone. So there's that going. That was going on Wednesday. We come back from commercial, and Ian is rocking back and forth in a chair or something while Janelle burns her face off with lactic acid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any comments?
It's like a chemical peel.
I think I want some of that. She said it makes your skin like brand new.
Because it burns off one layer.
I was going to go back
after
to...
After it regrows.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the thing where your face is red for like weeks or something? You have this nasty like red face?
It's a procedure you get your plastic surgeon will do for you.
Moose, have you ever done that?
Never planned to either.
Okay, good. Me either.
I have big pores, so I was just, maybe I would still have big pores.
Now you're just bragging.
So I think Danny, I think she's playing a pretty good game. I mean, I was really impressed by her strategy and going around and talking to each individual person and, you know, kind of coming up with all these different plans and who needs to go. And I mean, I thought she's smart, definitely, to get Tyler out. I don't know. I feel like, or to want to get Tyler out. I don't know, though, that this whole targeting Janelle and Kaser and Memphis just because they're like the older. I mean, I know this happens like on Survivor when, you know, anytime on Survivor when there's like, you know, oldies versus newies or whatever, you know, they're all the new people are trying to get out the old people. But I don't know. I mean, I know I said this last episode, but I really don't see anything that Kaser and Janelle have done to warrant them being a big target, other than they've been in multiple seasons before and maybe done well then. But this season, I don't see anything that they've done.
They did throw out Nicole's name to Memphis that first week. So, I mean... Although that's just normal gameplay, so I don't understand why they're these big targets. But I mean,
well, they've played together before. Didn't Kaser say he's never been in the house when Janelle wasn't there?
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
But
Mike Lawson?
Haven't others?
Mike, you had some comments.
He's frozen.
I was just going to say that I think kind of what's happening is that Kaser isn't kind of kissing the Cody Tyler ring. Yeah. And so that's, they're just this division that kind of is happening. So there's no real reason other than, you know, trying to figure out who's kind of has the bigger cock.
And Janelle's was huge.
And Janelle, I mean, I think it's just because Nicole doesn't like Janelle because they have this outside thing. And I also think it's just easy.
Is something outside also.
I think in any of these games, it's just lowest common denominator. Like you're trying to, these first few weeks, you're trying to figure out who you're going to vote off and you'll just pick anything. Well, okay. They're the ones from older seasons. We're just going to get them out, you know, or whatever. I mean, I think you're looking for things to grab onto. We have more newer folks than we have older folks. I think that may have to do with it as well. Because I don't see
women.
Yeah.
At the same time, if you think about Janelle and Kaser, they kind of hung together and they didn't really join any other groups of people. So they've kind of put themselves in that situation, I think.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said Kaser hasn't talked game to me at all.
Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, shall we move on? We go to the veto picks. And so Tyler, Janelle, and Kaser are the three. So Tyler pulls Cody's name.
Of course.
Janelle pulls Memphis's name. And Kaser pulls Bailey's name. So there's that. Christmas hosts the veto competition. It is called the Cupcake Clash, and it's a head-to-head competition. You have to make, there's three giant cupcakes that are have three parts to them, a base, a center, and a top, and you have to line up the colors. You have to move them around. You can only move one section at a time, and it's like kind of like a, I don't know, a hopscotch thing or a pile it on top thing.
And you can't put them on the floor.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you can actually only pile up four, a maximum of four, I think. Right. Anyway.
You're rearranging things to get them in order, basically.
Right.
Right. By color, yellow, pink, and blue.
Right.
Now,
and it has to be in the right order, right? The base, the center, and the lid.
Correct.
Right.
The base, the middle, and the top.
Now, probably nobody else noticed this. Did you notice that every time they reset, they play da 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 na 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 na. It was like a partridge in a pear tree. I mean, it was like Christmas music.
No,
I did not notice that.
The hell? Anyway,
I didn't.
All right. Poor Big Friday.
Okay. So the first pairing is Kaser and Tyler. Tyler wins it. Tyler subsequently goes on to the championship. Cody and Bailey play, and Cody wins it. Memphis and Janelle play. Everybody thinks Memphis is throwing the competition because he's so bad at it. But in fact, he wins. Comments?
Why would he be throwing it? They said that. Why was he throwing it?
Adam?
Well, I think he might have been. I mean, I don't think he was throwing it, but I think the thought process is that he doesn't like to have any blood on his hands. Sorry, Fatty. And so if he throws, and so they may be thinking he's throwing stuff so he doesn't have to make any decisions.
Well, but he could have won like two times in the process of him. He messed up on purpose.
Well, and I don't think he messed up on purpose because he won. So, I mean, if you were throwing it, why would you?
Well, that's because Janelle was playing so badly.
I mean, maybe. Well. I don't know. I didn't really feel like he threw it. And based on his diary room, I didn't think he threw it. But he could have. But I think they thought that because of how he's been playing. Just very, yeah. I don't want to make any decisions. Mm.
In the end, Memphis wins, but I guess Memphis was too slow. So the finals end up just being two people, Tyler and Cody. And Cody wins the veto.
Let's go, baby. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it was going to come down to Tyler and Cody. I mean, you know that those two are going to be the anything physical at all. I mean, it's going to be those two guys because they're, you know, one's very athletic, one's very muscular. They're both. I mean, I don't know. I think that's going to be pretty common this season.
Just since we're talking about Tyler and Cody and Janelle during Love Island tonight, there was a commercial where Tyler and Cody and Janelle are in the HOH suite going, oh, I love that show. Oh, yeah, I love that show. Yeah, I watch every episode. Oh, yeah, that's fucking hot. You know, anyway, okay, never mind.
Yikes. All right, Danny thinks Memphis threw the competition, the veto comp for Janelle. Kaser and Janelle want to make a Hail Mary. This is all the conversations that happened after the veto, right? Enzo and Tyler think Memphis was throwing the competition. And then so Cody and Tyler are talking about, should we bring someone down off of the block and put a bigger target up? So there's a little bit of talk of bigger targets.
I always feel like that's a little bit of misdirect, though, in
that's
editing.
Production.
Because, I mean, I feel like those conversations always happen. But I feel like that when they purposely show it to us, that I feel like they're trying to trick me. That's how I feel.
Because what do you think, Moon? Well, okay, dude, great.
Yeah, I got nothing on this. I mean, it's just okay. It's just all talk. You know, they do it every week, so no big deal.
All right, Archer, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
I was just going to say the same thing, that once you see that, you know the opposite is actually going to happen. So
yeah, probably so. Mike?
All right. So
doubt what they say, doubt what they say, believe what they do.
Yeah.
There you go.
So then we meet, we get to learn Christmas's punishment. It's the All Stars Born punishment. Which is she gets a baby, which is a little stuffed pillow star. And then a second one and a third, and then a fourth
baby. Basically Carl's Jr. or Hardy's Christmas giveaway pillows or whatever.
Yeah,
but some of them had winky eyes.
Oh, well, you know, Carl's Jr. has a winky eye also.
I was thinking because I feel like I've seen on TV or even like some of my nieces or whatever, where they have these babies that actually really cry, like these baby dolls that really cry and like, you know, they look like. I was thinking it was going to be something like that when I heard the spoiler last week. I mean, I thought it was cute, but it was obvious they were coming over the speaker and making baby noises and stuff, and it wasn't really coming. I mean, not that it matters, but I mean, I was thinking it was going to be the babies, you know, and it would be like some random thing where, because I know Sam was talking about there was a home ec thing where kids would have to carry around a sack of flour or something, you know, for a week, and I thought it was going to be something like that, but it was more just them going over the loudspeaker and saying, okay, time to burp Johnny. You know, or whatever, and then, you know, she has to do something. So, but like I said before, it was cute.
Did she finally end up with a dozen of those things?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Janelle pitches Cody and Tyler to get them to let her stay. She says that she'll vote for 2 weeks according to what Cody wants.
Does that ever work?
Nope.
Have we not
on an All Stars year? It doesn't.
No,
I've never seen someone go in and say, "I'll be your main man for the next five." Where any, I mean, it never, because you're not going to believe them, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to do something, but yeah, I've never seen that work.
I think in previous seasons we've seen that. I think it has worked for previous seasons, but they were not All Stars.
It's kind of like there's a guy who sells bikes on the corner and like you can buy one from him, but you're not sure if you're really going to be able to ride it for that long before someone beats you up because they realize that you're on their bike.
Right.
But you're taking a risk. Maybe you'll get some time out of it. Maybe you won't, you know?
Yeah.
I know you have to do it because there's only if the veto competition has already happened. And you're on the block and there's nothing you can do to get off the block. I mean, you have to try whatever you can. It very rarely works. Yeah. If they've decided they want you on the block, they're not going to trust you to be automatic, you know, just all of a sudden start playing with them for the next 3 weeks or something. So.
Right. Okay. So the veto meeting is done. It comes up. Cody has the veto in the middle, just as he's about to announce the baby thing that
I love that
Xmas, Christmas, burp your baby or something like that.
She have to put a diaper on it or something? No, did you find it odd that Enzo was like, that mean I'm a daddy now? You know, I mean,
because he made his plus one.
I know that, but I just thought that was just.
Enzo is so hot, you guys.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
so I don't really see it
for me.
Records it on a VCR so he can do slow motion. You know,
all of that. I don't have internet, that, yeah. So I have to do that. Yeah.
I don't think he's ugly, but
I do.
But he looks dirty to me. Like,
that's
I don't know.
Mike likes
I just imagine him to like stink or something. I don't know.
Mike would be okay with smelling Enzo.
I mean, You know, yeah. Maybe after a bath. Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe, you know, y'all can count plugs together.
Yeah, I know it's plugs.
Uh-huh.
Cody doesn't use the veto.
Janelle, by the way, I'm so glad they don't do this. Now you have one last chance to sway me as to whether I should use it or
not. Oh, yeah.
That shit. I'm glad they stopped that shit. That
well, they might just, still be doing it, though, right?
They do that on the voting night, though.
Well, yeah. That's because it's Julie.
Yeah.
And it gives them a chance to say blah, blah,
something
blah.
Mean.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or something mean. Stretches you're right.
The time. Okay, so that's that. Janelle and Kaser remain on the block. We move on to Thursday's episode, episode 10.
I have something to say.
Uh-oh. Wait, you were interrupted because of NFL football or something.
No. I liked Julie's outfit. Thank you.
I don't remember what she was wearing.
Oh, God, don't ask me to describe it. It was a black dress with little straps.
Oh, well, notice Moose and Adam and Faye all know what Julie was wearing.
I don't normally, yeah. But I was like, oh, I like that. It doesn't have a big bow on the shoulder. I hate those big bows.
It was a simple black dress. There was a sash and a tie, and that was it.
Yeah, right. And she was wearing some cute little turquoise earrings, and she had some bracelets on. I thought she looked really cute.
God. Yeah, I like that.
All right. With a three-button bustier, and yeah, two wide straps, as you say. I was indifferent to it, but it was okay.
Black is always classic, you know?
Right.
Well, Faye wouldn't wear it, but anyway.
So Cody doesn't use the veto. Janelle and Kaser are on the block. Everyone is talking now. Who should we kick out? Ian is playing dumb and laying low. There's a good joke in this one. Christmas was out on the hammock and Ian was out there too or something. They were both wedding. Roasting in the sun. Uh-huh. Or was it Kaser who said? I'm cooking.
No, was Ian.
Christmas says, I'm cooking. And Ian goes, oh, really? What you cooking or whatever?
What are you making? Yeah.
What are you making? Right.
That was good.
Oh, come what? On.
I was now, so that cute. Shows you his Asperger's or what's the other
autism?
One?
Autism.
Oh. Autism that really, you know, he cannot pick up
oh, really?
Social cues he's... like that.
Oh, really? He genuinely thought.
Well, we don't know, but he's on the spectrum, so it could have been. It could have been.
But by his answer, you can't tell that he didn't.
Well, I don't remember it, but yeah.
I thought it was just a joke. I thought it was just a good joke.
No.
A quick-witted retort.
He probably didn't get it.
All right.
He said in the diary room later that he was playing stupid or whatever, and that was when all that came up.
Okay. I think he was just using that so people don't think he's stupid.
Okay. Janelle's pestering everyone to keep her. I'll vote if Cody votes. I don't know what that means. It's a note I made.
Oh, she goes around to everybody and she's like, hey, would you vote to keep me in. I'll be a bigger target than Kaser. You guys can use me as a shield or whatever. And every person she goes to is like, well, I'll do it if you can get everybody else, or if you can get four other people, or if you can get, you know, and no one just flat out says yes. Like nobody says, yes, I'll definitely vote to keep you. But they all like come up with this excuse of, well, if you can, you know, whatever. And then it gets, I don't remember who she was talking to, but it gets down to somebody who says, I think you need to get Cody on board. If you get Cody on board, then I think you can get the rest of us to, you know, to keep you.
And I think that was Bailey, wasn't it? When she was talking to Bailey, she said that.
It may have been. I don't remember. I just know somebody said it, but that sounds right. I mean, I it could have been for sure. So that's what that was.
Okay. So she's promising the world to everybody.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens next. David.
Now, I don't know if you have this in your notes. Sorry to interrupt you, but Kacer, along these collecting votes lines, I believe he was talking to Christmas, I want to say, and basically is told, look, you just need to lay low because Janelle is the target this week, and if you just don't rock the boat, you should be fine. And Kacer is like, I'm totally cool with that because I don't want to campaign against Janelle. So it seemed like Kacer didn't even really do a lot of campaigning because everyone was pretty much already made up their mind that they wanted Janelle out. And so he just kind of laid low for the week.
Do you think that Kacer is really even playing the game at this point? Because he's not talking strategy to people. He's not making alliances. I mean, I remember him during the first and second time on the show really being a dynamic player.
But I think he's already, like, they started out being the underdogs because they were the older players. And I think he's kind of feeling that no one's going to hook on, you know, connect with me anyway. So I need to play this by myself.
Yeah. Maybe so.
He is kind of playing the reactionary game, right? He's kind of waiting to see if he gets nominated or not and hoping he gets himself off.
Right.
That he's
fabulous
enough to win every comp, which he's not.
This is totally speculation on my part, but Janelle made a comment at some point that she had wanted to try to work with Tyler at the beginning and that Kacer was against it and did not want to work with Tyler. And I'm wondering if Kacer kind of pulled Janelle down a little bit, because it does seem like he's playing a lot less than she is. And just that comment that she made made it sound like she really wanted to work with some of the newer players and Kacer didn't. And I could be totally, like, just conflating that one comment, but that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, we'll give it a couple minutes. We'll see what happens to Janelle's game.
Right?
Yeah.
You're saying, hold on.
So there's a big convo, like there's the multiple conversations between Tyler and Devon and Bailey about flipping, trying to flip votes. Bailey, there's all kinds of stuff going on here. Bailey says the three of them have a trust talk, I believe. Bailey, Tyler, and Devon. Is that correct, or was that the
David? I believe that was around Bailey. David.
So Bailey, David, and Devon
have a conversation,
have a trust talk, and David rats out Cody and Tyler to Devon and Bailey. God.
Yeah,
because David's such a good player.
Oh, he's just doing it. Devon loses it on David. There's some crocodile tears, I think. There's just all this drama.
What was he ratting Tyler and Cody out for? Like, what had they done? I don't remember.
They said to vote some way, or they said they were going to vote some way or something.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I think what happened was Danny went to Cody and Tyler and said that Devon was trying to flip the vote.
Yes.
Against someone, against David.
And Tyler told David.
And Tyler told David.
And then David told Devon and
right.
Bailey. And then Tyler Devon got really mad.
Yeah. Right. But then David went into the HOH room and told Tyler that he had just told Devon.
And Tyler's like, why would you do that?
He's like, I wanted to apologize because I just basically threw you under the bus. And Tyler was just like, his mind was blown. And so then there was a whole conversation between Cody and Tyler where they basically just came to the conclusion that they can't trust David because he is such a novice or such a, you know,
rookie
player. And he's just making
bonehead
stupid mistakes. And so I don't think they really thought he was being like malicious or I think they took it as stupid gameplay or stupid, just, you know, he can't lie. And so they probably won't trust him anymore.
Yeah. And he kind of shoots himself in the foot.
I really wanted to like him, but and there's only two possibilities right now. One is that he has some weird genius plan that's about to play out and we're going to be eating crow in a little bit and we're going to just be amazed at how this turns out for him. That's one option. The other option is he's an idiot. And I think it might be the second, but we'll see.
Yeah, let's go with the latter.
You know, we were all kind of put out by Memphis calling him a rookie and being at the kids' table and all this kind of stuff. I hate to say Memphis may have been right. Yeah.
Well, he might have been right, but he was still
an ass to say it that way.
Yeah.
True. But David continues to show his rookiness or whatever. I mean, it's like he keeps making these mistakes and you think, what are you doing? So
At this point, he's not a rookie anymore. Like he's on the show, you know, he's past that. So,
and he's 3 weeks into this season. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think he could go a bit further though, because I think people will see him as not being able to play at this point. And we'll just keep him around because they think he sucks, you know?
Well, there's a reason they think that. It's because he does.
Or he's an evil genius, like Mike said.
Or Mike Lawson is going to give us tomorrow's lottery tickets because he's come up with this idea that David has a miraculous plan. So.
Okay. One thing I haven't noticed is they're not giving the days, like day number such and such. You used to see that every once in a while. I haven't seen many of these day number so and so's. Is anyone catching any of that?
I haven't noticed that.
Yeah. Okay, we go to the vote and the speeches. And Janelle's. Wait a minute.
Before we do that. When Julie first goes to the living room, there's Janelle in a powder blue cocktail dress, and Kaser's sitting there in competition clothes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we already know who's leaving.
I know. And Mark keeps saying this. Mark has said this to me for many years that we've been watching Big Brother together. He's like, you can almost always tell who's going home by who's more dressed up, especially if there's a girl involved. Mm-hmm. And he told me just when we watched this yesterday, he said they really need to make a rule where they require them to both dress up, because it was so obvious that, like, I mean, Kaser looked like he had just gotten out of bed. I mean, he had like bed head going on. I mean,
well, that's his hair normally.
Well, maybe. But I mean, I was like, come on. He had his tennis shoes on.
Well, that's because he's getting ready to compete.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, they need to just have a rule where they say both people on the block need to be dressed as if they're leaving.
Or they just don't need to vote and whoever's the most dressed up leaves.
Well, also, remember when this we would watch seasons in past, that would be like a surprising thing of how the votes went. And you really wouldn't know. But I think now when you come to the actual live eviction, everybody already knows who's going anyway. Like they've already done all this strategic talking and who's going to vote and stuff. And it's like, we already know that it's who's going home.
It's the same thing that happens with Survivor and all the, like, people learn how to play the game so well that kind of like, there is no surprise. There's, you know, it's a two party system. There's no, you know, it's like so boiled down that like everything is very predictable. And it's like either that happens or that happens. And
right.
For better or worse.
Well, you say that, but Trump won, and that surprised a hell of a lot of people. So, you know, but no, I mean, but still, us at home, we have an idea of who we think's going to go home, but we haven't been all week long hanging around these people to know exactly what's going to happen. If production would require them to both dress the same, at least it would keep a little bit of element of surprise for us, for the viewers.
Have you been surprised yet this season, Adam, of all the people who have gone home?
Well, no. But that's...
Well, I will disagree. I don't know who said it, but, you know, it's that way on Survivor. Also, there have been a lot of blindsides on Survivor.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I would agree with that.
But
that's one thing I like about Survivor.
some of that is due to the way they edit it, though, right? Like the Blind Side, they could have edited it into a way that it wasn't really a surprise, and they only showed us the person who gets voted off, them kind of talking about how they know they're going home. Because I feel like when you're out there, or when you're in the diary room, you're kind of like spinning tails in every direction, that they could really get a good story out of you.
But I think the tribes at Survivor, that they're oftentimes appear to be surprised as to how it all plays out. Of course, some of that is all that jumping up and talking at the last minute kind of stuff, too. Anyway,
well,
I'll shut up.
I will agree with my good friend Daniel Brewer on this. He thinks that the editing really sucks on Big Brother and that Survivor has much better editing. I will concede that I think the Big Brother production could do a better job of editing, because sometimes they make things way too obvious, and they could edit a little bit more to, you know, to give us a little bit more mystery about what's going to happen, and it might make it more enjoyable, you know.
But Survivor also has
give us
months.
More details. What?
Go ahead, Fatty. Mike.
No, I was saying what Big Fatty was saying. Survivor has months to kind of put the stories together.
Oh, that's true.
Big Brother's doing it in real time and
in a couple of days.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's true. That's why we kind of feel a difference.
What did you say, Archer? Can you repeat what you said?
What did I say? I don't remember.
Downtown.
All right. So the two evictees give their speeches. Janelle says, "This is the coolest group. If I benefit your game, keep me here." Kaser says, "I've enjoyed being here. I want to stay here and make an impact." And that's about it.
They should have kept Janelle just so that she would have to do her HOH in that dress and probably not win.
She said she
go ahead, Adam.
Well, I was going to say she told Julie later that she had a change of clothes right there. So
interesting thing, plot point on this thing. Two people voted to evict Kaser, that being Danny and Enzo. So that will become important later, right?
Well, now, since we're at the vote, do y'all believe Julie was truly knocked off her feet by Danny's vote for Kaser?
Yeah,
I do.
I don't think Julie's that good of an actress. She's definitely not that. Her reaction was real, in my opinion.
Moose?
I think she was really surprised.
Mike?
I couldn't tell for sure. I mean, a lot's happening with, like, I don't understand the remote thing and everything, or who's talking in her ear, or so it could have just been something weird like that, and she kind of like, I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, she just went, "Oh my God."
Did she have the same reaction when Enzo also voted?
No. Because Enzo had given a wonky vote the week before, right, Moose?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But that's just not the biggest news she's ever had to keep a straight face for. Like,
no.
She delivers stuff. She like is very good at like saying he or she, or you know, like she performs under pressure. It's weird. It's just weird.
Hmm.
Maybe it's the same part of her character that's also like giving us Bible verses all of a sudden. It's like something weird's happening in her.
I don't think
she knows beforehand. Cause I mean I think she has an idea of how things are going to go because they've reviewed the tapes throughout the week and they know what the strategy, all the discussions have been, and production probably is taking notes and, you know, giving her notes and stuff like that. But I don't think she knows for sure. And I think based on the way the thing about Danny is, I really do believe the entire week, Danny presented herself as voting Janelle out. Danny wanted Janelle out. Like she, you know, she really wanted Janelle out. So, and we'll come to find out, you know, in the next episode that Danny's doing it as kind of a strategy thing, but I think, you know, Janelle was surprised. Like she didn't. Anyway, I think it was true surprise, but
Yeah. Okay, so they get this, Janelle gets evicted. She comes out. They have this very clunky interview. Julie keeps making Janelle guess which two players voted her out.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, I don't know.
No guess. No guess.
Yeah. Not those two. Try again.
Well, okay, but I enjoy these interviews better. So these interviews this year, because I think we discussed that we think the reason Julie is being more open in her interviews with the contestants this year is because they're not going to be battling back. So she can give them inside details about what's been going on in the house. And I've actually really enjoyed her being more open and honest about, because a lot of times in the, and I know like when Julie does interviews, like with Entertainment Weekly or whatever, you kind of get her opinion on things. But usually during those live shows, you don't get any opinion at all from Julie or any kind of game talk or anything, which I feel like Jeff Probst, you get more of that like on Survivor. I hate to keep, you know, bringing this back to Survivor versus Big Brother. But
To start watching Love Island and get that.
Oh, yeah. Man. I mean, but I've.
Vernacular.
I have enjoyed a more real seeming Julie who seems genuinely interested in the game and like actually follow. I don't know. I liked that.
Well, like she said to Janelle, like I think it was one of the first things she said, Bailey and Devon and David, they all loved you. You know, they told her, she told her right away that they all loved her and that she was thinking, you know, her thinking was wrong about them.
Right. Moving on, a little interesting note, as I guess Janelle was walking out of the house, Franny, Nicole Frangel says, "It's okay if you don't want to come to my wedding." Did you catch that?
Yeah, she did say that.
Oh no, she said it. No, she said it in her interview tape.
Oh, yes. Is that where it was?
Well, she didn't say this in exactly these words, but she basically said, "Don't come to my wedding." What was the meaning behind what she was saying? She's like, "I know you got an invite, but you don't worry about it."
Yeah, I hate you now. That's what I took it to mean.
Janelle, okay. In an interview, Janelle later said she had never planned on going to Nicole's wedding. So, so there you go.
All right. So we do the HOH competition. It's the Carnival Quick Shot. Six players compete against each other. It's a ramp. It's a like the roof of a house, I guess. A peaked ramp that has two sides. You roll balls up. You have to try to get three balls to land at the center top of the ramp. If you don't get the ball stopped there, then it rolls down the other side. You got to run to the other side of the ramp and do this, keep throwing these balls. We hear that the safety suite is now closed. So people start playing that HOH game, and we have no idea, except for one person before the end of the show appears to have gotten their three balls centered.
That's correct. And it was Kaser.
Right. And as Archer has said, Julie left us in the close. She said, Archer, at the end.
Econ. Be best.
Oh, I thought it was be best.
No, that's.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm not going to say who that is.
Okay.
Which, ouch, burn. Which brings us to episode number 11, the Sunday, August 30th.
By the way, the live ticker did show up.
Yeah, I noticed it this time.
Okay.
Okay, it's the HOH competition.
Well, you know, the producers were listening to Butt First Podcast, and they realized they had forgotten to put that up, and so they rectified the situation. That's
excellent.
Yeah.
Can you tell how many people have downloaded the app?
No,
six of us.
It's a, well, it's not even an app. It's a.
And Mike's going.
There's no way to know.
I didn't put it on my homepage, but I did look at it.
It's a web app, so.
Okay, we're in the HOH competition. We opened in the HOH competition. Janelle's been voted out. Danny and Enzo had voted for Kaser. We have six people running this competition in the first round. Kaser, Enzo, and David all win. So three people, the first three people win, move on to another competition.
I will say this. I like David's strategy. Is he would roll it up, and as it was rolling up, he would run up to the center of the thing, and if it wasn't going to go in, he grabbed it and ran back. So he wasn't exhausting himself as much.
And gave himself more time.
And he gave himself a little more time, right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good strategy.
Right. And did you see what Kaser did the very first time? He threw all three balls at one time, and two of them got in.
Yeah.
That is so hot. Okay, I'm sorry.
I knew this would be...
because of the balls. How dare you, Faye Driver?
In the second round... Oh, that meant that, so with Kaser, Enzo, and David winning, that means that Nicole, Devon, and Ian were eliminated in the first round. Then six other people went. It was Danny, Kevin, and Cody who won the second round, which meant that Christmas, Memphis, and Bailey.
Good old X and her stars.
Were eliminated. Apparently Memphis and Cody were very close, right? Cody got it in by like a second earlier or something like that.
Yeah,
I like when Cody gets it in a second earlier.
I think they might have even had to review the tapes on that one because, yeah.
Oh wow. So then these six winners all play the final round, and the first person to get their balls in the holes wins, which happens to be Enzo. Meow meow.
I had a feeling it was going to be him. I don't know why, but I just had this gut feeling.
Mike Lawson was sitting there. Come on, Enzo. Get those balls in that hole. Get those balls in that hole.
Well, apparently that's
why I was like, take your time, Enzo. Just kind of bend over, reach, you know. Go slow.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
What's the rush?
Mike's just like, you know, rewinding and replaying, you know, all the Enzo ball scenes. And yeah.
All right. So Christmas is just broken up that she didn't get to win HOH and see pictures of her kids and stuff. So she has a little cry there. One of the first times I think we've seen her be pretty emotional, possibly. So we come back from commercial. Cody accuses.
I thought you were saying it's one of the first times we've seen her be pretty, and then you said emotional.
She's an attractive woman.
Yeah,
for a lesbian.
It seemed kind of random for her to be. We've never known her to be emotional or missing family. So that I didn't even expect it at all. Like, it was just like, you know, she's playing a game and then all of a sudden she cries and then we get a diary room of her missing her child. I mean, I know that you miss your children when you're a parent, but I've never seen her be emotional like that. So it just wasn't, you know, if Nicole F had cried because she missed Eric or whatever her boyfriend's name.
Victor,
Eric. Thank you.
But we'll call him Eric.
We wouldn't have been surprised because she cries all the time. But I was surprised how emotional she seemed to be. I hope that
you,
doesn't
Eric,
mean
take
she's
the, this woman, Nicole F. You know,
and not to read too much into it, but I hope it doesn't bode poorly for her game. I hope she doesn't get so distracted by being homesick because I've always seen Christmas as being a good player and having a chance to get pretty far. I'm reading way so much into that, but she could have just been having an emotional day.
It's just an edit. They just had to fill 35 seconds. That's all.
Right. They're like, Christmas, cry for us.
Okay. Cody accuses Danny of swinging the vote. She denies it. Up and down.
the day before, right. Didn't she bring it up to him and say, oh, we should try to flip the vote?
She did, which is why he is so skeptical.
And then she said to him, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. I didn't say that. But really? That's sloppy gameplay.
Yeah. And then that makes them question her loyalty to the group.
I don't think it was a bad strategy to try to do that. And then she already had it in her mind who she thought she was going to pin it on. She was going to pin it on Bailey and Devon.
Bay and Day is their new nickname.
Bay and Day.
So she had a whole strategy. I just think maybe Cody was the wrong person to try to convince because he's a good, really good player and kind of leading the show, him and Tyler. But I don't think it was a bad strategy.
Or maybe also just fuck Cody for doing that, because I feel like she kind of floated it and he wasn't down, but she still felt that she had his like loyalty. So she got Enzo to do it, and she didn't expect, you know, Cody to make this big deal about her doing it. Like, she really trusted the guy, and maybe that was her mistake.
Do you think she got Enzo to do it, or do you think Enzo did it on his own?
He did the wonky vote
the week before.
Yeah.
It was not mentioned. So, I think
was this
Enzo
the same time that David came in and they were asking him, if he was a wonky vote. He acted like he had no clue.
Oh my God. He's like, he just got this look on his face like, what are you talking about? Like,
David acted so suspicious there. I mean, everybody. Would have said, okay, you're the vote.
He's kind of like, if you got some AI to like watch every Big Brother episode and just put him in the game, it would be David. Like, he says game things and like he's sneaky sometimes, but it's just always like slightly off.
Well, they were all sitting there like looking at him like, what?
Zingbot plays better than he does.
But again, maybe it's all evil genius, and you know, a few episodes from now, we'll all be just looking back, going, "Oh my gosh, he's the best player of all time."
Lawson's got it. He's got that scenario. You heard it here, folks. First, folks.
Yep.
All
don't right. say I told you so. Wait, you know.
Okay, don't say I didn't tell you. No, didn't tell you so. Whatever.
We're going to ask Mike later. He's going to be like, what? I did what? Okay.
I didn't say that.
Kacer and Devon are having a little chat on the couch or something. And Kacer talks about eating, I believe it's halal meat that it's like the Muslim version of kosher meat, or Islamic version of kosher meat. That's my dog drinking water. Is that coming through? Can you hear my dog slurping?
Yep.
I can't hear.
Great.
Oh, I thought that was Mike looking at pictures of Enzo.
So they had Kacer and Devon have this really genuine talk about Black Lives Matter and issues and the politics of the day. And so I found that to be enlightening, but encouraging, I guess. Any comments on that little chat? Are we going to get political here? Adam, come on, get political.
Why would I get political? Oh, what I was going to say is, I wonder if it's gameplay. So I wonder if Kacer, like...
so jaded.
I wonder if he knows that Devon is religious and is trying to...
I wonder if he knows that Devon is black.
And is trying to... kind of focus in on the similarities between his strife and, his issues in the world and her issues in the world, and having it tied back to religion and race and other things like that. So I wondered if it was him trying to get her on his side a little bit. So maybe that's a cynical view, but it was a good conversation, but the back of my mind was like, she may really like him after this,
I expected this conversation at some point this season. I just didn't know when, but, you know, and it'll probably come up again at some point, but we'll see.
Because yeah, isn't this the first time they've had three African-Americans on the show at the same time?
Mike?
Is that true? I don't know. I think that, like Fatty said, like it was just a matter of time until this conversation happened. And that's kind of what's cool about this show is you always kind of have those chapters of kind of like current events or like something that kind of reminds you of where we are in the world. Because, you know, I kind of live my life through these seasons. It's, you know, our cultural kind of connecting point that kind of, you know, brings us to the water cooler, so to speak, to kind of talk about stuff. It's why, you know, I keep up with all y'all. And this is the chapter that has kind of like Black Lives Matter going on in the background, which is cool. And then to Adam's point, is this gameplay? Like, yeah, maybe, but also like it's kind of would be gameplay not to bring it up too. Like that's what's great about the Big Brother game. Like everything matters and like nothing kind of can matter. And like, you just don't know, like maybe this will be a connecting thing that will change the game for both of them, or maybe it'll just be kind of one of these mirror moments like they do in RuPaul, where it's like just heart to heart for no reason other than that.
I agree with you. And I think that when Kacer started the conversation and brought it up, I don't think that he was thinking in terms of game right then. I think it was a genuine, real conversation. And if it works out to be, you know, gameplay later, then great. But I think initially it was a really genuine, real conversation.
I'm sure it was real, but didn't we talk about, or maybe I just read this somewhere, that Kacer had been able to kind of use his religion to make friends with certain people in the house in other seasons, which helped him possibly get further. I mean, maybe it was dreamed that.
It was definitely a part of his game.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I mean,
maybe game is not the right word. It was definitely a part of him being in the house last time. It's like we've not seen him pray at all this time. Whereas the first time he was on, you saw it relatively regularly.
Well, and if you think about that, he was on 10 years ago. So you think 10 years ago, we were at war with both Iraq and Iran, or Afghanistan, whatever. And it was much more relevant back then. So they showed more of his Muslim side.
Moose, do you have comments?
I think it was a genuine conversation. He did use his religion a little bit, or in his very first season that he was on there. You know, I think 9/11 was still very fresh in Americans' minds back then. And even though 9/11 was 10 years prior to his initial stay in the house. But I think this conversation was genuine. I get the impression that Kacer is a very good person. So...
All right. We have. Well,
wait a minute, Faye. What's your hesitation there?
He's a thoughtful person, I think. I don't like him, but yes, I think he's a good person. I just think he's arrogant and he's extremely intelligent. He has many good qualities. But he's not my favorite character and hasn't been in past episodes or years either. So,
okay. Do you guys want some breaking news in the middle of this? It's not really breaking news, but I just...
Is it a spoiler?
No.
Okay.
Wait.
All of us are uninvited to Nicole's wedding.
Yes. All of us. Yeah, they were listening. So apparently last night, and I think this is the reason why when I tried to look at the live feeds, they were down. Apparently last night.
I know what it is.
Christmas. You mean Sunday night, right?
Yeah. Nomination night. Christmas, Memphis, and Kacer were in the backyard when a fan yelled over the fence
They've been doing that.
That Cody and Nicole were running the show or something like that. And they immediately, apparently because of all the backlash from Janelle, a lot of fans on social media have really not liked the fact that Janelle and Kesa were being targeted. And so now they've been yelling, and they put the house on lockdown so that they wouldn't hear any more fans yelling. I don't know if it's still under lockdown, but they, but when it happened yesterday, they put the house on lockdown.
Did they show later on the feeds though, them talking about it?
This is an article that I was reading. So,
Mike.
So I don't watch the feeds, but I do read the Reddit, which, you know, is filled with people talking about the feed. So like there is like something where it, this could be affecting gameplay. So like there's some scramble and like something weird may be happening. I don't know. Fatty could maybe tell us too, or Moose, I don't know. Have they ever really addressed outside influence on the game other than in the very first season with the airplane messages?
The airplane messages in the beginning, there was another season that people yelled from a parking garage or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing about this that I will mention is that Evil Dick is claiming responsibility for these shouters.
Oh. It's weird.
So he can give his daughter a chance. Better chance of winning, I guess.
I don't know. Moose, do you hear, have any other news on that?
I'm not following any of the outside stuff, so I don't know any of this.
All right, so Evil Dick is evil once again.
Still evil.
All right, we have the have-nots announcement, the choices. So there are four people who are currently have-nots, except this week, there's only three. So what's up with that? And who?
Well, I think it was because Janelle was a have-not and she went home.
That's exactly it.
So smart.
Good point.
That's on the Wikipedia page. They said that.
Oh, thank you. All right. So Enzo manages to get Tyler to volunteer, I believe.
Ian volunteered also.
Yeah. What's wrong with that guy?
Well, he likes to lay low, and if he's up in that room, he can just lay low.
Well, and I don't know. Do you think it's seen as kind of taking one for the team? You know, that so that other people don't have to do it. So maybe you
that's
get a little
a good strategy.
You get brownie though. Points.
But he's already been a have-not.
I was going to say this is the second time.
Yeah, he has.
Mike, did you have a comment?
No, I mean, I feel like I might do it too if it's not that bad. And, you know, I could just say, like, hey, I'll just do it.
Moose?
To kind of, not necessarily brownie points, but, like, I don't know, to make a friend.
Favor.
Well.
Garnering favor.
I'll Moose? Hold the door open, even if you're not, you know, for anyone.
Right. Moose?
It's just part of his Lalo gameplay. I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, it's...
Maybe when you're a have-not, it gives you a chance to become friends with people who maybe you might not have been otherwise, because you're in that
away from everybody.
You're away from everybody, and you're put in that room where you have to sleep in that other room. So maybe that gives you a chance to get to know other people without it looking suspicious. And
plus, Mike, if you were in the house and volunteered to be a have-not, it's vegetarian slop. And you would have to take a cold shower because Enzo's in there with you.
I've seen Mike eat meat, so I mean, I don't know if.
Oh, can I get a copy of that?
He might eat Enzo's anyway.
I wouldn't be able to eat. I would eat nothing if it's vegetarian.
I would only eat Enzo's meat if it visited the bidet first.
If it was kosher.
Halal.
Oh, halal. Sorry.
I would say, for me, I know you're all dying to know what my response would be.
What would your response be, Faye?
I would do the have-not. I would take the have-not punishment because it's a great way to lose weight, I think. That's why I would do it. Okay.
But, you know, if you're one of those musclehead guys, you're like, oh, I'm not getting enough protein, man. I've got to bulk up,
you
know.
You just complain and you get a special menu, like, Michi. Okay. So Danny and Franny are a thing. They're like buds. For Frangel, Nicole Frangel, they're like the best buds or something. So there's that.
They know each other outside of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do these people know each other outside of the house? Like, how does
Been on a show together called Big Brother, and so they kind of keep in touch with each other. I don't know if you were aware of that, but anyway.
It just seems like a loose connection to me. I don't know.
I feel like they might end up getting paid to, like, go to things together or, like, end up at the same sort of events or something. So then friendship sort of forms.
Yeah.
For those reasons. And if they're both kind of like near a big city, they maybe can run into each other a lot.
Kind of like Pride 48 and the six of us in this room right now.
Well, and but Nicole's job title is a social media influencer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, we did skip over one thing here. Danny and Nicole were really bonding in the restroom when somebody farted in the water closet.
Ian.
I don't know who that was. It was Ian?
Ian,
oh,
yes.
Okay. God, I was hoping.
And I don't know if that was an enhanced sound or...
I think
needs to see a gynecologist. Not a gynecologist.
Gastroenterologist.
I don't know.
I didn't actually finish the have nots. Cody and Bailey chose Danny.
You know, they're going to have to figure out, though, at some point how to reset that, because if one of the have nots happens to be someone that goes home for several weeks in a row, they could, like, run out of people to nominate have nots. It could just keep, it's not going to happen this week, but I mean, you know, now they're down to three. If it happens again and they don't reset it, they'd be down to two, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have to count for you guys. But anyway, so I mean, that'll be interesting or not. Or maybe we just forget about have-nots altogether.
Wait, Adam, what would happen if one more went away, though?
Well, it'd be down to one.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I hear you, though.
Mind blown, right?
Stable genius.
Can you nominate yourself? All right. Oh. So there's a bunch of talk. Enzo wants to nominate Kaser and a pawn. And then Enzo and Christmas are talking. They seem to be bonding very nicely. And Danny and Ian and Kevin names are all thrown out. This is all misdirection.
Well, Christmas and Enzo are bonding because they have 12 stars.
Right. So the nominations of Enzo are Kaser and Kevin. Dun, dun, dun.
And Kevin, guess who cries in the diary room?
Did he cry?
He did.
Again?
Did he?
He's like, I really got to get working on this. I got to get this together. Yeah, he's like wiping the tears away. Yeah.
But did y'all find it odd that Enzo was walking around talking to himself after Kaser left? What am I supposed to do? I like the guy.
I think we all talk to each other from time to time. Talk to ourselves from time to time.
Hey, Freddy, what do you mean? That could be.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I think that was for the audience out there watching.
You
think?
And also, it could be driven by questions from production, you know? Like, Enzo, what do you feel about Kaser?
I remember in Celebrity Big Brother, the comedian guy used to have chats with the audience every morning or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't remember that.
You can't hear your mom.
Tom Green or Al Green.
Yeah, Tom Green.
Yeah, it was Al Green. Al Green.
Tom Green. And there's been others that have done, like, talk shows with themselves or something. Wasn't there one recently
wore the cowboy hat.
Bill was recapping the game to themselves and they got overheard. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the guy. Yeah, the cowboy hat guy.
The old man that had the cowboy hat. He would have his own little morning show.
And he would talk. He would talk to his wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the end of my notes.
All right. Well, do we want to? I have a little bit of a game. So here.
Oh.
I'm a little bit of a quit. Now, this is not.
Well, first of all, since Sam and Alex and Chris, well, we know Sam has been busy and Alex has a very early to bed schedule, and Chris couldn't be bothered to be here. Do they get to play this game also?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's what you get when you don't show up.
There's no way to have it because we're going to have.
Okay.
Also, these things could be Googled and then there would be no, you know.
So you're saying we can Google them right now and get the right answer?
I'm saying I would prefer you guys to not.
I'm telling you, Lawson's fingers are on the keyboard right now. Oh, okay.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put a link in the chat room and the Zoom chat. So all of you need to find the Zoom chat before I do this. You need to know where it is because I don't want you wasting time doing that. Once I put the link in, you are going to have 1 minute to answer these questions. It's a Google form. And you're going to have, I don't know, is that too little? I can give you a couple. I don't want you to have time to Google, but should I give longer than that? I can.
How many questions are on it?
It's four questions.
38.
I mean, if let's just all say we're not going to Google,
okay.
Yeah. I trust you guys.
All right. Well, we can't take too long, but okay. I'll give you a 3 minutes.
No, we don't need three damn minutes.
Oh my God.
First one that ends
one and a half. No, because anyway. So, okay. So I'm going to put this
is pressure. It's a minute.
All right. Here we go. So I'm going to put it in there and then the link is in there. There is a form.
Oh my God.
And while you guys are answering, I'm going to read these questions to the audience.
Oh.
Now, this is not about the current season. Sometimes it will be about the current season, but this is about Big Brother in general.
Oh my God, I have no idea.
So the first question is, what was the duration of the longest Big Brother competition? So in the history of Big Brother, how long did the longest Big Brother competition take? The winner of this one will be the one that's closest to the actual time.
Without going over?
No, just the closest. And then for a bonus point, what was the competition? So, and you don't have to know the exact name, but as close as you can come. The third question is, who was the oldest ever Big Brother contestant? And the fourth one is, how old was this person? And so those are the four. So when you guys are done, just let me know you're done.
I'm done.
Done.
Only because I did not know the answer to a lot of those.
Mike is done.
Faye is done.
Faye is done.
I'm done.
Okay, you're all done. All right, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the responses.
I have a feeling I got zero correct.
Me too.
All right, so first of all...
Well, no, I got the first one correct because that was What Is Your Name?
I even got that one wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
Of course you did.
All right. So first of all, what was the duration of the longest competition? So the correct answer is around 14 hours. They don't have the exact time, but it's a little bit less than 14 hours is what you'll see if you Google it. The competition, I don't know. I don't have the name of it on the top of my head, but it was a button pushing competition where they all had to hold a button down and that was it for as long as they could. And so it was around 14 hours. So the person who came closest was Fatty.
First of all, did anybody get button pushing competition?
No.
Okay.
No, but the closest to the duration was actually Fatty with 12 hours.
Oh my God.
So Fatty gets a point for that. All right. So the next one, oldest Big Brother contestant. The correct answer on that one was, I forgot his name, Jerry McDonald. was the answer. And no one got that, but we have some guesses here. We have Chicken George. Actually, three different people guessed Chicken George. somebody said Zingbot, and somebody said that pink pig farmer guy. So nobody got that one. It was Jerry McDonald. On
what
the
season is he from, do you know?
Oh gosh.
I'm just curious.
No, I don't.
Okay, that's fine.
So the person who came, so his age at the time that he competed was 75.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Now, yeah, so let me see if I can figure this out. So we have a tie.
Oh,
For the closest, between Archer and Fatty. But Archer gets the point because Archer completed his quiz before Fatty did.
Oh, excellent.
So so basically we have Archer with 75-year-old Jerry McDonald. So Fatty gets 1 point and Archer gets 1 point added to their competition score. So that is our contest for tonight.
Wait, is there one more question?
Uh-huh.
The name isn't the name of the wasn't the name of the competition?
What?
He didn't know the name of the competition.
It was just called it was the button pushing. I don't know if it even had a name. It was a button pushing competition.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So yeah, so what we'll do is you'll Archer and Fatty, you'll each get one bonus point to add to your contest results. And I haven't figured out where I should put that info in the app, probably just on your profile, but we'll put that in the app so you guys can see how you're doing.
Jerry McDonald was from season 10.
What you can do is you can just call us the quiz competition beast.
Right.
Do we have point tallies for other things? Like, don't we get points for H2H comps and stuff like that?
You only get, so your three contestants that you've chosen, you're going to get 1 point for each category if you get it right. So it's not, you don't get points for number of comps that somebody wins. You just get a point at the end if your person ends up being the person with the most competition wins. So the bonus point,
the max anyone can get without bonus points is 3.
Correct. Yeah. Okey-dokey. Now I didn't know if I didn't know, I'm probably not going to change the rules mid-season, but I was thinking
you will.
But what I was thinking, it would be good. It would be something interesting to give bonus points if you get more than one of your selections are correct, like have some sort of bonus point or something. Like, if you get all three of yours correct, you get another bonus point or something. But I probably won't do that because that wasn't in the original rules. So,
yeah, because I would have selected completely different people if I had known that.
I would have too.
Oh.
I would have too. Yeah.
Okay.
I would have chosen Nicole F. Also.
I would have chosen Janelle.
I just want to point out there's only one person on this Zoom call that isn't wearing glasses.
All right. I wear contacts, but.
Ugh, liars. Okay.
Never mind. All right. So, so we'll add those bonus points for Archer and Fatty. And I think we're done with the show. I know we have spoilers. We'll do that after the credits. So let's go ahead and give everyone a chance to let us know where they can be reached. So, Archer, thanks for being with us. Where can you be reached?
At archer.com.
All right. And Moose, where can people find that beautiful new picture of yourself?
I did try to resurrect the Twitter account. I haven't posted anything yet.
Oh, good.
Moose P.
Moose P. Okay, at Moose P. Mike Lawson, where can you be reached?
Twitter as well. I have Mr. Mike
Boston. All right. And Faye Driver, where can you be reached?
You can listen to the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast at pinkwheelnuts.com. And I am at Faye Driver on Twitter, FeyDriver.
All right. And Big Fatty never says where he can be reached. So I'll just say Big Fatty can be reached at bigfattyonline.com. I can be reached at geekygay.com. and we can be reached at buttfirstpodcast.com. You can also find many, many LGBT and LGBTQ plus friendly podcasts over at pride48.com. From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Adam. Let's eavesdrop on the All-Stars.
You.
What?
How dare you?
I thought you said, fuck you, because I unmuted
okay,
you
well,
as you were
I
saying.
I can say that too.
Ew.
Okay.
All right. All right. Spoiler time. Anybody want to leave can leave. Bye, Faye.
Bye, Faye.
Bye, Faye. All right. Mike, Archer, you
I don't
probably
have
know.
Many.
I definitely know.
There aren't very many. Kevin wins.
Power veto.
Veto. Power veto. And of course, takes himself off the block, which I'm sure he went into the diary room and cried because he had won it.
I'm sure he did too. But the next spoiler is surprising to me.
Well, this I have a theory here.
Okay.
Tell what the spoiler is, Archer.
That Enzo put Christmas up on the block.
Now, Mike Lawson, you give your opinion.
Well, Kevin was a pawn. He said that. So the pawn took himself off, and I think Enzo's just putting up another pawn. Like,
well,
pawns go home. We know that. We've seen this show before. But I really think that that's my belief of his motivation.
Well, I'm just surprised because he just had a great week with Christmas. He chose her as his plus one. Yeah. They had, like, the connection with stuff. I mean, that's why I'm just surprised. When there's so many other people in the house that they talked about putting up.
Moose, do you have a theory about this?
Unless he really wants to get Christmas out. Well, she is a strong player.
Here is my theory. Christmas volunteered to Enzo because he made her his plus one last week. Okay? And so she has volunteered to make it easier on him. And the app says, dumb Christmas replaces Kevin. Stink, stank, stunk. May all block volunteers be evicted. Christmas to Enzo. Whoever fucking puts my name in their mouth, I will guillotine their head. Editor's note, start with yourself, dumbass. So anyway.
I totally agree with you, Fatty. They seem to be playing together, and I'm pretty sure that Christmas feels pretty confident right now because she's in a couple of different, well, at least one big, she's in the big alliance.
She's not relying on Enzo to keep her safe. All these other people are the ones who do the voting.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, she volunteered. Enzo didn't want any blood on his hands. Sorry, Fatty.
Oh, but, Enzo says, I want blood all over me.
Then I mean, I would have thought he would have put somebody
else
up. I'm
blowing it up. I want blood all over me.
I do not think he wants Christmas gone. I think the goal is to put a pawn up and they all want to vote Kaser out. So I think she just feels confident that she's a pawn and she's working with Enzo and she volunteered.
If you think about it, though, this is a perfect time for the other side of the house to flip the vote because right now, there are only four votes from the main alliance.
Because Enzo can't vote.
Right. And Christmas can no longer vote.
Right.
And so the other side of the house actually has more numbers.
Wait, let's look. We've got Bailey. All right. One side of the house is Cody and Danny and Enzo and Nicole and Tyler and Memphis. How many was that?
Seven or eight, wasn't it?
Well, you got Bailey and you've got David and you've got Davon and you've got, well, who the hell knows what Ian's going to do? And you've got Kevin.
See, I was counting Davon and Bailey and David as part of the other side of the house.
I would.
Yeah. See, but here's the problem with that is the other side of the house, air quotes, is so confusing because there's the big alliance, but then a subgroup of that big alliance has another alliance with Davon and Bailey. So Davon and Bailey are in the Slick Six, which also has Danny and Enzo and Cody in it. So that kind of brings Bailey and Davon in with that group. So they're kind of adjacently in the big group, if you think of it that way, because they're in the Slick Six.
True.
And so that only leaves, you know, then you're looking at eight people all adjacently aligned with each other, you know, with Cody and Danny being in both of those alliances, and Enzo, I think.
Well, and Christmas.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, Christmas can't go home because she's the one who I voted for to win the whole thing.
Same thing.
Well, Danny has been already stirring the pot about let's throw in some odd votes, you know.
That's true.
Well,
although I do think Kacer's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say this, and I hope it, I always say this when this happens. I said at the beginning of this season, I hope that because we have all-stars, that we avoid having these big, huge alliances that just pick off the low-hanging fruit for the first month or two.
Predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's been happening. The same damn thing. So, I mean, I would love
it's the floaters. They call them the floaters. They're just kind of like... Yeah,
I mean, you know, just the easy votes. Oh, let's all the strong players band together and, you know, get out all the easy votes. And then it's not as fun to watch for us because there's no, you know, there's no surprise in anything. I mean, like, I hate to bring up Survivor again, but, you know, sometimes those blind sides are really fun to, you know, fun to watch and fun to see. And like with Big Brother, you've just been getting none of that. And I know, I mean, there's not much they can do because it's up to the contestants, but. You know, and the contestants are only concerned about winning, not whether it's a good show for us to watch, unfortunately. So,
now, I have a prediction as to what Kacer's eviction speech is going to be.
Okay.
Be nice. Sorry.
All right. Any other spoilers?
That's all I got.
That's all, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We will see you next week.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.
They hear us?
I've muted you.
Can they hear us? Can they hear us?
I hear you. Tonight, we discuss the recent noms. Will Janelle or Kacer go home, or will the veto save them? Will we get him in? I even wrote it down. Okay, one more time. I don't know what you guys are saying. I'm not even looking at you. All right.